I'm not, man. Then?
Right out right there. I'll see you at the beginning, Brad.
I'm willing to die, too.
I want to make movies out of blood,
origin,
sperm, and tears. Perfect.
I believe
when
that,
I got
to
talk
to
someone.
Great job.
Dude, that doesn't make any sense.
What?
It's a jig, I swear to Christ.
My line's in the middle of the road.
As long as the bar is Philadelphia.
Plenty of sausage. Come on.
Everything but the little fishies.
Welcome to Everything But the Little Fishies, your favorite subversive analysis film podcast.
Welcome. Today we're returning to the return of the Return of the Planet of the Apes.
Ah, man. Yes. We are returning to the kingdom of the Planet of the Fucking Apes. Yeah, man. I think when we originally decided to talk about the whole rest of the franchise, we weren't really considering doing this one.
I didn't even know that this one was coming out until we kind of started doing all those. I didn't care about this.
Yeah, we talked about the whole Planet of the Apes franchise because those are movies that just meant a lot to us.
And we even said, like, on the early episode, you said you'd seen the trailer for this one and you were not too psyched about it or something like that. You were unimpressed.
Yeah, that's true.
Not looking forward to it. So
I said I was not really looking forward to it. Yeah, but I don't know. It just felt like we're still in season one. We talked about the whole rest of the franchise, so it only felt right that we talk about Kingdom. And, you know, it just came out. We both saw it over the weekend. I guess, you know, first impressions, what did you think, feel about this movie?
First impressions? I mean, basically I felt like it was a total mess. It was so all over the place, man. Like, I couldn't believe how many things this movie was trying to do. And was successful in a few of them, but very few compared to how many things it was actually trying. I also think it was like maybe fucking an hour too long or something, but that's part of the same thing. Like, this movie's trying to be everything.
Yeah.
And that's basically, that was like what I, when I went out of the theater, that was like, it was a mess of everything that is Planet of the Apes just smashed into one thing. Because, like, it does the original Planet of the Apes stuff. You see them at Zima Beach, you know, walking up. It does Beneath the Planet of the Apes stuff, obviously with the ending and stuff. But it also has Escape and Conquest and a lot of battle. There's, like, lots of these little references in there, like, the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's not trying to just be a remake of one of them or even trying to tie into this, you know, previous trilogy as the next step necessarily.
It's
very Easter eggy, very rebooty, a very modern idea of like what a, you know, franchise movie is, I think. Even more so than the last trilogy, the other most recent trilogy.
Okay, so we said when we talked about you know, the Caesar trilogy, I think I'm gonna call it now.
Okay.
Rise, Dawn, and War. When we talked about the Caesar trilogy, we said that these movies and, you know, all the originals that came before it and Tim Burton's, they all really do just represent their time of cinema.
Totally.
And where cinema is at that time.
Totally.
They're kind of these perfect cinematic time capsules, as well as doing plenty of other things and continuing the tradition of Planet of the Apes as best as possible. And, you know, we had some disagreements about how well Tim Burton or the Caesar trilogy accomplished that. But does Kingdom continue in that tradition? Do you feel like this really does represent where cinema is at now, which is this kind of like weird, like it's a big IP mess thing, like, and it, but it also is kind of continuing the tradition of the themes of Planet of the Apes.
Right. Well, I think that's how it's kind of this modern reboot slash sequel thing. Very similar to our last episode, very similar, I think, to The Way of Water, the Avatar 2, where it's kind of like a total reboot thing, and it's kind of a continuation of these characters' sort of stories, and it's kind of Jake Sully's, you know, story still, but like it's mostly about the descendants of Jake Sully. And this one is like, they kill Caesar at the very beginning, and then it's about the descendants of Caesar sort of thing. So it's you know, theoretically continuing the timeline while being a complete sort of reboot thing. And I think of it as separate from that trilogy, in its like aesthetics and style and its idea of what a movie is.
From the Caesar trilogy.
Like, even though it's you know, yeah. cinematic, it's connected to it, like, in a canonical sort of way.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still, like, a very different type of movie, an idea of a movie, than those three movies were. It's almost as different as, like, Burton's was from those, or as it was from the originals. Like, it's a new thing.
No, for sure. I definitely noticed that in the aesthetics, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Is it me, or does it feel like the special effects aren't as good as the Caesar trilogy?
Aren't as good?
Yeah.
So, like, the special effects team that did this movie apparently is the team that did Avatar 2. And apparently, like, right after Avatar 2, this was the next thing they did.
Really?
Yeah, this was... So the friend I went and saw it with was telling me this beforehand. So I was kind of like, oh, shit, so this is going to look fucking great. Like, I'm psyched for this. This is going to be, like... I mean, maybe not I'm psyched for this necessarily. I was going in with very low expectations, to be perfectly honest. But I was still kind of like, okay, well, this part of it at least will be cool.
It's going to look good. It's going to be a spectacle.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, when we got in there and the CGI monkeys showed up, I was like, this looks fucking terrible. Like, I can't believe how cartoony this shit looks. It doesn't pass as real at all. And I think part of it's like, in Avatar, maybe we're accepting of some of that cartooniness because the entire environment is so cartoony and whatever, whereas in this one it's juxtaposed with real environments, and so that sort of integration, I don't know, is harder to pull off.
I
actually
think it might, like, yeah, I don't know. The thing is, I think the CGI in the Caesar trilogy was really incredible, especially in Dawn and War, man. That was some peak CGI.
No, exactly. Exactly.
And they have those apes interacting with real environments almost the entire time.
It's true.
There's very little entirely CGI sequences in Dawn and War. Kingdom had a few entirely CGI sequences, but I think you're right that they're still shooting most of it on location. Actually, I don't know. That's the thing.
It's hard to say.
Didn't really get a chance to look into the production process of Kingdom, but I would be willing to bet it's less tactile. Like, they were in less locations. It's more on the studio soundstage, more digital environments, or like digital extensions of soundstage environments, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm not really buying the idea that they were doing what they did in Dawn and War, where they're, like, really out in the rain and in the forest and all that shit.
No, totally.
I feel like that's just too expensive or something. There's something way less tactile about the CGI in this. It looks way more cartoony, like you said.
Exactly.
And I think they acknowledge that. I think I did read that the CGI visual effects supervisor, like, acknowledged that they really were going for a different aesthetic.
Right.
That the Caesar trilogy has a more grounded, gritty realism vibe to it.
Right.
And now they're making, like, an adventure film because we're going on an adventure.
I mean, they're remaking Avatar
kind
again.
Of fun and whatever. And it's sort of Nausicaa-ish. Like, it's very, like, Miyazaki adjacent in some ways, trying to be, if you ask me. Where you have, like, a very hero's journey. Yeah, yeah. I feel like that, like, village he lives in the beginning, right? Noah?
Yeah.
Like, that whole, like, introduction of them, like, out in the wild, like, doing this ritual where they have to get this bird egg and bring it back and whatever. Like, that all just feels... And then they're in this, like, valley-ish, beautiful kind of valley with... And they're, protected. Like, you know, fish and they're, like... You know what I mean?
I did not make the Nausicaa, like, connection, but that's very Nausicaa. I mean, I was just thinking of it as just the most basic possible hero's journey thing, where you've got every single checkbox ticked, like, in every single, like, where he even, like, comes across
the wise
old sage that, like, sends him out, and there's the person that's following him that's also, like, every single thing is, like, that most classical hero's journey thing.
Exactly, yeah.
But, like, that's also just for the beginning of the movie. Like, the whole end of it is kind of a whole different hero. Like, this is my big problem. Yeah. It's like, that movie just, like, keeps feeling like, oh, okay, so this is the beginning. Oh, wait, no, okay. So now this is the beginning. Oh, wait, no, okay. Now this is the, okay, here's where it started. Like, it finally gets to it. Like, the whole beginning of him egg and all that stuff, this Nausicaa stuff, that is, like, I love Nausicaa. But all that stuff is fucking pointless. Like, we don't need any of the bird stuff in this movie at all. Like, It's all it's there for to connect it to like an Avatar aesthetic of like this sort of wilderness climbing on the fucking destroyed buildings and stuff and trying to introduce a new sort of aesthetic into this franchise that's like Avatar-y, you know, and that type of adventure film thing. That's why I think they did it. It's like, it's very similar to the pterodactyls and stuff, like, and all the other, like, the Na'vi.
That makes sense to compare it to what the most recent, like, cinematic spectacle success was.
Totally.
Because Avatar, I guess, is the new state of the art again.
Right.
And, yeah, like, people like that shit. You know, they like that flying through the air, kind of, like, high vantage point, thrill ride kind of thing. I mean, the thing is, I actually kind of do like what Kingdom is conceptually trying to do right out of the gate. The whole thing of like this ritual that they go through and stuff, and kind of setting up Noah's society as a atavistic one. Like they are kind of, ironically, they're kind of more like the Zaises. Like they've actually rejected Caesar and like all of their history and stuff like that, and basically ignore all progress and kind of just have their own weird cultish, like ritual, you know, culture shit that they do. And that's what they do. And it's not really like, you know, about any of that. Whereas this other ape tribe comes in, they're like conquering and they're assimilating and they're trying to blow up this giant vault of weapons so that they can jump, you know, hundreds of thousands of years of evolution, technological evolution in one day and all this stuff. So,
right.
I don't know. I kind of like conceptually how this movie is sort of dealing with the original Planet of the Apes themes that we were talking about.
Exactly. Those are all very Planet of the Apes ideas.
Yeah.
And they shove all of them in there. Like, you know what I mean? And every time they do one, it's kind of like, oh, cool, that is a Planet of the Apes thing. Oh, yeah, that one too. Oh, this is kind of cool how they're doing it. But it's similar, I think, to when we were talking about the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes, where it's like a lot of this feels like the point is not to make a great movie, but it's like to make a clever adaptation. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, this is such a clever writing exercise of how you could do the same thing, but change it a little bit and like make it slightly, like add a new aesthetic to an old, like, and it's, it feels like a writing exercise in that way. And this one like feels like it's much more successful at like really deep diving into all the Planet of the Apes movies and like coming up with what it actually is that is Planet of the Apes about each of them and stuff, and then like applying that to this movie. I think it does a really good job of that, but it also feels
like an AI movie.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Oh, it feels like an AI program did a really good job of analyzing all of the Planet of the Apes movies and then was like, okay, it needs to have this and then this and then this and then this, and we can do this thing here. Like, that's, it really feels like that to me, which feels very modern. Mm-hmm. And parts of it, I think, do work the way that AI sometimes does, you know what I mean? Where it's kind of like, oh, this hits. That's like, you got that idea right or whatever. But like the whole of it is so kind of what? Like, it, well, like its idea of what a movie is isn't connected to cinema.
Yeah, what you were saying earlier about how every part felt like the beginning, that also really did. That was one of the biggest things the movie left me with initially before I had any other thoughts about its concepts or anything. I was just like, the thing I was thinking as the movie went on was like, is this still like the first act of the movie?
Right,
like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like it had like such terrible pacing.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I was giving it credit as the movie went on. Basically, you know how like the end of the movie, the climax is when she blows up the dam and like the silo fills with water or whatever?
Yeah.
I actually thought that that was like in the middle of the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
when
I was sitting there thinking like, okay, this is actually pretty cool. Like they're just doing this now. Like we just got here. We just like got to this colony. We've had like one scene with Proximus and whatever. And like they're already in there and they're already blowing this fucking dam up and flooding it. Holy shit. Like this is crazy. And then it's like, oh wait, no, we're actually at the end of the movie. And now they're having the final face off with Proximus with the Eagles, which is the reason why they have the Eagles.
Yeah, but it's the stupidest fucking reason ever. I am
Spartacus thing. Because like, dude, you're literally, like, he is completely outnumbered.
He's completely outnumbered on the edge of a cliff, and you've got 50 apes there. And instead of the 50 apes pushing him off a cliff, you're going to have 12 eagles push him off a cliff. Like, 12 eagles versus 50 apes. Like, what do you, this is so, and it's all about, like, the no killing thing again. Like, it's about allowing our characters to remain, like, totally morally... whatever. But it's like, nah, dude, you trained those fucking eagles your whole life. Like, you're it's still killing them. If you shot them with a gun, it's not like you're like, oh, the bullet killed him, I didn't kill him. It's like, no, you fucking pulled the trigger there, you killed him. Like, so it's the same thing as pushing him off. And I understand the point of them not wanting to stand up and being too cowardly because they've been beaten down or whatever. But it's like, it just works so poorly in that context where
it
you
doesn't,
see...
Yeah, it doesn't really work, yeah. That was very disappointing, and I didn't feel that moment at all. And I was like, dude... And because the other thing disappointed me about it, I was like, yo, I thought I was halfway through this movie. Wait, are you telling me this movie's almost over? What the fuck?
That's funny.
What the hell just happened in this movie? You know what I mean? Because, like, the whole entire beginning, setting up his village and his friends that are so irrelevant and all that shit, just so that it immediately burns down, it's like, cool. But it took, like, how long to make that happen?
Right, right.
And then he goes on this journey, he meets the wise old sage, and then he meets the girl, and then the girl turns out to actually be smart. And then they go into the valley and see the other humans, and they get chased by the people, and they...
You're talking about Rachel Lee Cook. The girl.
Well, yeah, Freya Allen. Nova May.
Yeah, but Rachel Lee Cook, though.
She looks like Rachel Lee Cook.
This is a 19-year-old like, Rachel Lee Cook, this whole movie. And then I kept being like, well, maybe it's just that angle, like... But nah, it's almost every single angle. She looks exactly like Rachel Lee Cook.
She looks a lot like her. But let's not get distracted on that. I was just going to say, then they reenact the chase scene from the original movie, right? And that's the only time you ever see primitive humans, it turns out, as well, because all the other humans in the movie are just happen to be smart ones.
Right.
But when they move on past that, they don't get caught. But then it's just so they can have a couple more scenes where they talk or something, and then they get caught on the bridge. And then Raka gets, like, killed, thrown into the water or whatever, which is also kind of disappointing because he was the only fun character in the movie.
Yep.
And then, like...
He was really good, though. He was the only fun character in the movie, but he was a very fun character. I loved him.
Oh, yeah. No, Raka was great, dude.
He was the best.
I really liked that section of the movie.
Yeah.
But, like you're saying, the pacing was such...
It just
shouldn't have been there because like they kill him off and then it's like he was literally here to deliver one thing to you.
Well, I mean, he was there conceptually for the idea of the legacy of Caesar and it being delivered to him from like a wise old monk who actually cares about the true Jesus as opposed to like, you know, the
So I don't think there's anything wrong with any of that man. I think it just
doesn't work because it should be happening at the same time as other things. Like all of these things are like
the same
have
time
all
as
of these
things
happen
exactly.
together instead of just like
it's like every this is a modern movie problem where like every scene in a movie now does one fucking job,
right,
dude.
Right.
And because every scene can only do one fucking job and lead to the next thing, and that's its only like it's so one-tracked mind, you know, like they can't figure out how to make something dynamic and be speaking on many levels. So every scene is just like. Doing its one job, and it's like, okay, so we know what its job is, and we understand what the scene was, and now we can move on to the next scene.
Exactly.
And it's like, I'm watching 6 Feet Under. No matter what you think about that show, it's like it can achieve many layers of storytelling within 1 hour. It can do way more character development and plot development and all these things in 1 hour. Even an episode of Atlanta in 30 minutes can accomplish... so much, and let alone The Simpsons, dude. Like, it's amazing what The Simpsons could accomplish in 30 minutes back in the early days.
Yeah.
Like, the ability for a storyteller to actually convey something meaningful and impactful in a short period of time is, like, lost. That's, like, a lost art, man.
Yeah.
And this movie really shows that modern problem in droves, dude, where it's just, like, because you can only make one thing happen at any given time... this takes like 2.5 hours to only tell the first act of a fucking story, dude. And that's what you realize in the end is like, oh, this is all set up for a trilogy.
Well, this is
a new trilogy.
This was the other thing the friend of mine I went and saw it with was disappointed about. He was like, when I invited him, he was like psyched because he actually read some things about like, oh, this is actually going to be like a standalone new apes movie thing. And then right before we went, he like read a thing about like, oh no, this is the start of a trilogy. Fuck this, dude. And then, the end pissed him off so much where he's just like, I hate these fucking movies that are just setups for this other thing and stuff. And I didn't really feel that way about the end. We'll get to it or whatever. But yeah, the idea that this is a part of...
This movie has its own arc, but it still feels very set up for the next one in a way that like Rise and Dawn don't.
Yeah, I mean, if you're saying it felt like this movie was not over and at, you know, two, like, was just getting started at the 2.5 hour mark, like, that's probably of it being, yeah, the first part of a trilogy. So maybe you'll be more psyched about, you know, about the pacing as a full trilogy because
you're disappointed that it ended. I personally, like, I like the beginning of the movie conceptually. Like, basically, if we talk about the three acts, which I guess now that I think about it, it makes sense that that's like what they thought the three act system was, which is the first act of introducing him in his home. And then it gets burned down. And then the second act of him going on his adventure with the wise old sage and meeting the girl and everything. And then the third act of being in the kingdom or whatever.
Right.
I really thought like the first two acts felt like the first act of a story in a way or something like, I don't know. It kind of felt, I don't know, man. It's just like I liked it conceptually, but it bored me. I wasn't like really loving the movie when it started.
Oh, the whole beginning is really weak, dude. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's really weak. It's boring. And like Raka, once Raka shows up, it's like, okay, this character's kind of fun, but it's not like saving the movie or whatever. But like once I got to the kingdom, man, that's like when I actually started to get kind of interested in the movie.
I agree.
When its conceptual stuff started to show.
Yeah.
And like the stuff with May and everything, I liked that she was just like totally untrustworthy and lying to him the whole time and using him and stuff, and that she blows the fucking dam up and all that. You know, like,
well, because I thought
all that stuff was cool.
I think that one of the things that I think is great in this movie that was not in the whole Caesar trilogy is the Zaius was right idea. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
This movie does actually like completely contain that like distrust thing and like the thing of like, well, no, the people that we've been following this whole time are actually wrong. Though in the end, I think it muddies that. So it ends up not doing the thing that, you know, the Planet of the Apes would do. Instead, it ends up...
Well, it's also trying to play both sides. It shows you that May is actually, like, fighting for the last remnants of humanity, basically.
Right.
And, like, however much you want to identify with humanity at this point in this movie when you've kind of been traveling with the ape the whole time. But, like, the other thing, too, is, like, Noah is just not a very interesting character. Like,
no.
He's not nearly as captivating as Caesar. The performance isn't as captivating as Andy Serkis or anything. Like, it does not have, like, the leading man gravitas that Caesar had or whatever.
No, so this is what I was saying to my friend I saw it with, too, was, like, that there was one time when he drops out of the tree in front of Rachel Lee Cook, in front of May, and, like, he drops, like, a really long distance, and I was just like, what if he landed and then he was like, oh fuck, and like grabbed his foot and was like, oh, you know sometimes how your feet like get that, like, you know what I mean? You know how like if you jump hard your feet hurt sometimes, like maybe if he just had some sort of like, oh fuck, that, oh yeah, you know, oh sorry, what's up, what are you doing here, like
there was and his thing was
like
about him.
And my buddy was just like, yeah dude, what if he was Michael J. Fox? And I was like, yes, exactly, like that's what this, like if he had a personality this movie would have been so much better. And like, and then comparing that to Avatar, where like Avatar's got Jake Sully, who like the whole beginning of the whole first movie is just like he's, you know, he's the audience surrogate, so he's like not in his body and he's tripping all over himself the whole time, whatever. And my buddy's just like, yeah, dude, that's what we needed, is like more apes tripping and stuff. Like if like, that would have like just like humanized a little bit. All of this was so like, and I was like, yeah, that's. It's a good point. But at least, but the Michael J. Fox thing, like having him have a personality in the way that the wise old sage has a personality would have, you know, really made a difference. But what he is in the movie is just like the most boring, like nothing, like man leading, like leading man guy that like...
He's just a banal dude who's, yeah.
Which is like, I guess the basic idea of a hero's journey thing and whatever is you don't have too much personality to like... make it sway from that. Like Luke Skywalker is boring too.
Yeah, I know, but Luke Skywalker even has a little more personality.
No, he does. He has so much more personality. You know? Yeah, yeah. He's like, at least he's gayer.
Like Noah. Although, dude, Noah did you notice? Just a...
Did you notice that when Noah comes back in the end, he's got his two friends. There's the girl, and he sees the girl, and she's like, "Oh, hey, you're alive." He's like, "Oh, hey," and then he sees the guy, and he's like, my brother, and they like basically like have their faces next to each other. They're hugging, and they're so, it's like, oh, that's a little, that's a much warmer welcome than you, than your girlfriend. It's a little gay. It's a little gay. So he's almost Skywalker.
Yeah,
it's
a little gay. He's almost Skywalker. Yeah.
But there's a bunch of that too. There was also like his, he was like, you know, there's over connection with his mom thing and stuff. Like there's so much time. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
He was a little bit gay, I think.
Well, he was afraid. Yeah. He was like kind of afraid of his dad. And yeah. His dad's bird fucking hated him.
Yeah.
Like,
cause he's a little gay boy.
And shit. He's like a little gay. Yeah. He's like, he's really just like not comfortable around like strong men and authority figures. But like, he's no Caesar, dude. And I think that's the thing, too, is that I think there's, like, supposed to be a kind of, he is a, you know, descendant of Caesar kind of vibe.
Oh, the problem I had, dude, it took me a half hour into this movie until he was calling some other guy dad to realize he wasn't Caesar's son. Because he looks, it's the same character design as Caesar's son in the last movie, right? Like, he looks almost identical to Caesar's son in that, like... I was just kind of like, wait a second, is that Caesar's son? And I missed the thing in the opening subtitles that said, like, generations later.
He could easily be a descendant of Caesar or Cornelius or whatever. Right. You know? Like, he has, like, the little white patch on his chest.
Yeah. Maybe they'll flesh that out in the sequels.
But that's the thing. Is like, I really feel like in this movie, that's part of the problem, is you don't really feel the three-act system because Noah's not really changing.
Right.
We are just... Noah's just a vehicle through which we've, like, experienced the world-building of this new chapter of Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. But really, his character arc is only in the first third of the character arc. So it's...
He just gets fucking used. Like, all he does is stand up against the big monkey in the end and, like, drown him. And then he doesn't actually drown him, though. He just gets him stuck in a trap, right? Yeah, you're right. There is the no killing thing again.
Yeah.
He can't actually kill.
He just escapes.
Rocket kills, though. Rocket kills and then says, Caesar would forgive.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. He's the only one who's got the balls to do it, man.
Yeah.
He's got Jesus in his heart.
Yeah, dude. I do like the idea that Caesar's become kind of a Jesus figure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this is part of the movie that I did like. I thought it was an interesting idea to talk about how the story of Jesus gets warped by organized religion and whatever. But then I just felt like what it actually did with that was so banal that it was like, oh, this is so on the nose. You get it from like the opening thing. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah. It doesn't dig it. It doesn't sink its teeth into it or anything.
Yeah. And there's no like interesting contradictions or things that reflect each other. Like it's very kind of, no, Caesar was a good guy, and like they have it wrong, and they're just using his name, and it's not really about his teachings or anything. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know what other character you don't see kill anybody?
Who?
Proximus, man.
Yeah.
The bad guy.
Yeah.
That dude literally does nothing wrong on screen.
No, I mean, that's the thing that I like about the Zaius was right thing. Like, you know what I mean? Is like the idea of like punishing this like evil character. And then in like right after that, finding out, oh no, like he completely was in the right, you know, that happens in the first Planet of the Apes. That happens in the second planet. Like that's the whole thing.
He's like he's the master of a state, you know, and that state and its goal is to preserve ape kind for all times and make them the most powerful force on the face of the planet, because he knows that smart humans are still around, and he's right.
Yeah. And that they're probably going to kill him if, you know, they are to get the SATCOM thing and stuff. Like, can we talk about this stuff?
Can we talk about what?
This ending, the whole ending thing.
With the SATCOM thing and the... Yeah.
Because, like... I thought that was like a cool idea when she got the SATCOM thing, and then it's like, oh, she's actually fucking completely not on their side, and she's just gonna blow all these fucking people up with a nuke from space. That's fucking nuts. That's awesome. That's so second Planet of the Apes. Like, you know what I mean? Is that like is that how this is gonna end, with the end of the world? Because that would be fucking sick. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it feels... It's you're right. It's another very modern thing, which is like, this is just the first, it's a TV show, you know, it's not really a movie.
Right.
It's like, this is the first chapter, and it's like, you know what? I would watch another episode of this.
Yeah.
Like, even though this like wasn't complete and there was a lot of things that were clunky about it. That's like how I feel about Fallout right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, It's like that vibe where it's like the first couple episodes, it's like garbage storytelling that like doesn't accomplish anything. It's just like world building and it's super clunky and inconsistent. And then like by the middle of the season, you're like, okay, I mean,
this
I
is guess fine. There's
some concepts here and like this is fine. Like it's all just like it's peak mid TV season.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And that's like what's happening to movies too, like this. It's just kind of like, this is fine and watchable. And I guess there's actually some ideas here.
It's not really a movie as much as it is just a, you know, serial of three different
but
things.
I guess, like, I would,
three
yeah.
episodes. Of
I guess
a,
I want to know what happens next.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
but this is the thing, man. The original Planet of the Apes, like, Beneath would have had the balls to have fucking ended the story. And that's what's so awesome about mm-hmm. them. Like, you know, like, all of them, they end the story. Like, and then they're like, okay, well, how about a new story? Like, let's, where do we go from
they
here?
Keep going, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, each time they're just like, let's destroy, let's blow it up. Like, there's no way we can do a sequel after
yeah,
this.
Yeah, but man, and, but as we discussed before, we agreed that the new Caesar trilogy had much more consistent world building,
of course, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
mythology than yeah. the original movies.
Totally,
and that's
totally.
Part of the reason because they'd always blow it up, and then they'd have to like assemble something from the broken pieces.
Yeah, like, yeah, which you know, like necessitated creativity,
really
and
creative. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But I thought that
because when you create this like tight mythology, you have to work within the box,
right? Right. And that's the thing is I felt like the end of this movie was kind of like, oh man, you're blowing this up. This is cool. Like you're going to make all the stuff that came before this irrelevant the same way that like the second Planet of the Apes does. Like where it's like, mm-hmm. you're going to turn it like, I don't know. It was, that was a cool idea. And then like the scene where Noah's talking to her. And by the way, his name is Noah, not as a reference to the biblical Noah. It's N-O-A. And it's only Noah yeah. so that she can stand up and scream Noah, which sounds like her standing up and screaming no, which is like the other planet. Like, you know what I mean? It's all just referency to the Planet of the Apes stuff, not stuff that has a real depth like underneath it. But
mm-hmm. yeah.
But the scene where Noah is talking to her and she has her hand on the gun behind her back and stuff. And he's just kind of like,
yeah, yeah.
he gives her the cross. And it's like, oh, fuck, this is like that to me. That was like, this is kind of a powerful, like, I dig this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The idea of just kind of like, no, like, let's sure. approach this through like mutual, like, understanding. Like, I don't know. There's something very Christian about it, something really beautiful. Like, I really dug that. And like that yeah. happening with her hand on the gun. But then like she reaches out for the thing with both hands. And she didn't have that gun holstered. So like, that feels like a retcon added gunshot to like make that scene more complicated and more interesting.
Huh.
But then okay. the idea that after that, that she still is just going to go back to the human colony that she hasn't told any of them about and blow them all up. Like that makes that awesome. That makes that scene so much more sad and complicated and whatever. But then it turns out, no, it's just like, it's not a SATCOM, like a nuclear satellite. It's a communication satellite because that's what she was talking about with this this thing that allows for all the humans to communicate, this book that allows, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's actually, yeah, that was very misleading.
Yeah, it's actually, like, not about the nuclear. But in the end, they also have
I assume she was talking
all
about finding information about the virus and stuff so they could, like, reverse it.
Right,
you know?
Right. But instead, she's just like talking about the desire to communicate, to, like with where is it they
quite
call in the end?
Literally with satellites,
with like Cincinnati or something.
I mean, yeah.
But like then they do have the shot of all of them kind of looking up at the sky. The monkeys looking up at the sky, and Rachel Lee Cook's out there looking up at the sky and stuff. And it's like, well, mm-hmm. this feels like this is the ending where a nuke is coming. Right? Like, but then they already said that it wasn't a nuke. And it feels like there's just like, there was a conversation had here where they decided to like allow it to be a sequelized thing or something. Cause it feels like there was an interesting ending there where like it's the second Planet of the Apes. They blow it all up and it's the end. Like, and that's a self-contained yeah. movie and whatever. And it's kind of a mess, but it, I don't know. I feel like it almost does that in a way that like kind of would have satisfied me. But then it just chooses this other thing that feels like such a cop-out, dude. But then it doesn't even commit to that thing because it still is kind of like, well, they're looking at something in the sky. They're not looking at a communication satellite that's visible all of a sudden. You know what I mean? So what? I don't know. You know? maybe it's a communications with the people who have the nukes to tell them where it's they need to drop the nuke. You know, who knows? But it's they're trying to leave really it open.
Thinking about nukes necessarily. I just thought like, yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what I was thinking. I wasn't sure what she was grabbing because like she did say she needed like some kind of book, and I was like, well, I know a book doesn't necessarily mean a literal book,
right?
So she's grabbing some kind of data thing. But it also felt really like convenient and weird where she found it and stuff.
Yeah, well, of course, it's a plot device.
And then in the end, I guess the reason why that didn't really—I wasn't thinking like, oh, she's gonna deliver and there's gonna be a nuke and she's gonna blow them all up. Like, I didn't really think that was gonna happen because at that point I was like, oh, this is the ending of the movie and they're setting this up for another movie,
right?
Like, this can't actually be like. You know,
I just thought they weren't setting it up for another movie. I thought that this was going to be.
I wasn't really in that mind space that they were going to be blowing it up or something. But I thought the communication thing made sense, though. Like, a lot of the other things in the movie make sense.
Yeah, what do they call apes, or what do they call humans again?
Echoes.
Echoes, yeah, which is obviously connected to the Planet of the Apes book and the idea that apes ape and. Like that the humans are now being called apes by the apes. So they're the echoes of the apes and they're copying and they're copies of copy. Like, yeah, that's all
the
borrowed thing.
Yeah,
whether
the echoes of their former selves or whatever, they used to be something else, but now they're just an echo of that.
Yeah. But I also think it's like apes. Like when we were talking about in the Planet of the Apes book is like apes ape. That's why this, and it's about copying.
No,
like
I know apes what you're saying. Humans. I'm just,
oh yeah, but there's that too. There's all of those.
I'm not sure, like, they understand Planet of the Apes that deeply to make that connection. I feel like they're calling them echoes just because they're the echoes of their former selves. You know, like,
okay.
It's like a basic thing like that.
I thought it was a, like, really well-researched, like, oh, they've looked at every single part of the Planet of the Apes, and this is a little piece of it that they're taking here and there, just like they took a little piece of Beneath and a little piece of Escape and every, like... You know, and a little piece of the original and put them all in there. And
that could be intentional or unintentional, but it works. Yeah. I like that they call those humans.
Yeah,
echoes.
Yeah, yeah. I
like
a lot
that
of
really
the
weird
decisions that they make as far as like the franchise movie thing, you know, because they do understand what this thing is talking about.
For sure. So, yeah, William H. Macy.
Oh, yeah, William H. Macy. So this was the guy I saw it with was also saying... like, the whole movie was filmed and he was just added later, right? And I was like, oh, wait, what? And he's like, dude, look at it. He doesn't interact with any other characters. And he was like, I think I remember, like, finding out that he was hired, like, 6 months ago or something. You know what I mean? It was like, I think maybe the William H. Macy character was just put in there to be, like, the counter to Rachel Lee Cook's character. Just like,
well, he's the Uncle Tom.
Yeah, exactly. To show, because otherwise it was probably scenes of her just with the other ape, the bad ape guy. What's his name?
Proximus,
exactly. And then maybe those scenes weren't working or something or whatever, so they had to put in somebody and they put him in and like, yeah, he doesn't interact with anyone and is never mentioned in any other scene. Like, he's just kind of there. You know?
They probably had a scene where Proximus was torturing her or something.
Right.
You never see him do anything wrong, dude. That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, He burns Noah's village. He burns Noah's village and like anecdotally he killed all of her people, but you know that's just a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like at best, all this guy does is sort of assimilate because he's just trying to build a better thing for all the apes, man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you could have all these arguments about you can definitely you know, it is a.
He is
sort
creating
of,
a little concentration camp, like they keep remaking and all of these fucking new, you know. But
well, he also they are dying in the process of trying to open that door and stuff. He said as many apes as it's going to take and whatever. Like he's using them as cannon fodder,
yeah,
basically. But
at the same time, if they could actually get all of that, it's like it's worth it, dude. Like, you know what I mean? They might be able to take out the end of the humans and like actually have like power to create a world that's so much more comfortable for all of them. It's just that right now they need to do this because otherwise this fucking wave is going to come in and ruin everything. Like, I don't know.
And he's more of a bonobo, so he's supposed to be like a descendant of Koba.
But
you know, so he still wants the guns and all that.
Yeah, yeah. All the bad guys are just the remake of the bad guy in war. Or in battle.
Yeah.
In battle.
Yeah, but I still think this one, because it's so messy, avoids what you levied against Dawn and War, which is the partisan politics kind of vibe.
Yeah, I think it totally does, because it's not talking about or saying much of anything. It's just saying straight, banal, like, conflict is bad. But
it also does make it somewhat nuanced, where you do actually have a scenario where your hero is led to trust a person that, like, you identify with because they're human as well, and think that they have a shared cause and all this kind of stuff. But in the end, that she's, like, totally willing to just murder him. You know, like...
Yeah.
It does things like that. And the thing with Proximus, like, not necessarily being completely evil and all this kind of stuff, like, I feel like all that ends up being more nuanced, even though it is a mess. But these films, yeah, like, I don't know, cinema just being kind of like... Just a movie operating on pure cinematic levels is important, you know? And I think, especially, you know, I think the Caesar trilogy, all those movies really operate on a cinematic level that's pretty satisfying despite their problems. They're paced really well. You, like, know what you're supposed to be feeling and what they're about and all this kind of stuff. And there's, like, tension and release and actually interesting character arcs and whatever. But this is like, this might actually have a more nuanced, interesting concept at its core, but like the execution of it just leaves so much to be desired. It just doesn't operate on a pure cinema level.
But the concept at its core is also something that already was accomplished. Like it's just kind of redoing the concept of the original Planet of the Apes, which they did in, you know, far more interesting cinematic ways.
Hey man, Avatar was just redoing concepts that had been done already as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Just doing it in a new way. It's like, I don't know. The hero's journey is a hero's journey. It's like, you can still get away with telling this story. You can still get away with making the hero's journey and making these kinds of movies. It's just kind of like, that's why the execution matters so much. Just like the tone and the pacing and characters and just how much fun you're having going on this journey. That's mm-hmm. all.
No, totally.
And I feel like this one really fails at being just fun and kind of like having a lot of those cinematic pleasures where you connect to characters and actually care about what they're going through and any of this stuff. It just feels like, you know, there is a bunch of like heady intellectual shit in it, but that was all very obvious about it because there's nothing like emotional really, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're
sitting there, you're like thinking about the movie the whole time. It's like, oh, they're doing this thing. Oh, they're doing that thing. Oh, they're doing this thing.
Exactly.
But you're never like with it emotionally, man, where you're just like feeling anything and like getting into a vibe or a tone or whatever. It's just like, oh, it's like this is happening now. And that's kind of interesting because it connects to this, right? And like, it's all just so like up here in the head and not down here in the gut or the soul.
Totally.
Or just
totally.
Very, like,
I think they try and get the gut and soul thing through these special effects, you know, moments or whatever. But, like, those are never really that impressive or interesting anymore.
I think in the Caesar trilogy, you had that gut and soul stuff despite its intellectual problems.
Yeah, but I just think those weren't... I think this was way more fun than those movies to me. Like, at least this had the fun part with the wise old sage. Like, at least I liked Rachel Lee Cook. And that part of that stuff, like, I don't know, I enjoy...
You just think it has these kind of, like, Hollywood kind of classic pleasures, whereas the other ones were these...
I
don't know.
I mean, just the fact of having this super hot girl there in full makeup the whole time, like, who's just, like, has dirt on top of, like, the thickest layer of, like, mascara, you know what I mean? It's like, this movie knows what it's doing. It's like, this is just, like, a stupid, you know, like, And that fits with what Nova was in the originals, too. It's like, you need to get the hottest one. And, like, I think, really, she should have been more scantily clad in this. But, like, there's just our pleasures of this movie that just are totally absent in something like War for the Planet of the Apes, where it's, like, just a miserable slog through a concentration camp of people who end up, like, the bad guy kills himself because he's so sad. Like, you know what I mean? It's just so, like, ugh.
Yeah, but... I just think that movie shot better.
I'll agree with
executed
that.
Executed better and staged better and edited better and is paced better and all these things.
Yeah.
Has better performances and whatever. I just like...
It's more of a
movie.
That
all matters to me. So like, maybe saying like fun isn't the right word, but I was just way more captivated by the cinema of the Caesar trilogy.
Yeah, I can see
and,
that.
And, you know, if we cut Dawn and War out, Rise is a very fun Hollywood-y movie with like a really great like second act and whatever with the whole like being in the monkey house and everything. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like lots of great cinematic pleasures to those movies, and you're right. They just all feel like movies, and even though they're a trilogy, every one of those movies is a complete movie.
Right.
And yeah, we're just in a really weird place now. And I feel like that Caesar trilogy was kind of like an antithesis to the Marvel cinematic universe and stuff. They were happening simultaneously. And like the Caesar trilogy really was different compared to a lot of the stuff that was really popular at that time.
Yeah, well, I mean, because that was that was doing Dark Knight at that point. Yeah. Whereas now this is doing.
Yeah, but that was already
like the Marvel.
That was already
stuff.
Old though, man. You know what I mean? Like no, the Marvel Cinematic Universe had already like been that's what was popular before Dawn came out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what became popular a year after Rise came out. They were delayed, and they were maybe following that Dark Knight Christopher Nolan formula and more in that realm of the Hollywood movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the MCU is what became prominent and popular. And that's really what has defined the way Hollywood movies feel.
Yeah.
Now. And yeah, now the Planet of the Apes franchise has caught up to that and has decided to go with that. Even though that's dead now. It's like
right. Exactly.
Following that whole thing of like, let's start a trilogy and just make this the first act of something, like it's a television show and whatever. It's a bummer.
It is.
It's really not time for that. Like, that's not the thing anymore. You could have just made a good movie, man, and people really would have, like, appreciated that right now.
Yeah.
And just a complete thing.
I think people are appreciating it right now, though. I think that people still are enjoying this movie.
Oh, so we're just naysayers. I mean, you're right. It has, like, a 3.5 on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's people are generally... I can understand why people would like this, you know, why this would work.
It's just the ending sits with me. So I feel like, do you think other people are going to enjoy that ending? The idea of instead of this, like her now having this like military power, instead it's like, no, we're just going to be nice. And it's all about communication. Like, do you think other people are happy with that ending? You know what I mean?
I mean, it just feels like such
a cop-out.
Like, it really is still following in the tradition of the Caesar trilogy in its kid's gloveness to
characters
not committing
killing.
Violence and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, she does, like, you know, she does basically drown them all. Like, she does blow up that fucking dam and the water flows in.
Mm-hmm.
And by all intents and purposes, she could have just like genocided that entire group of apes or whatever.
Yep. Yep.
So it's like, but there's, yeah. And like, and just like Proximus, he is sending his goons to go out and like burn villages and whatever. But it's just like, everyone's so removed from their violence in a way that makes it hard for you to really dislike them or find them super disagreeable. I'm not sure why they didn't even try to make Proximus disagreeable, except that maybe they are trying to be nuanced.
No, I think that's the case. I think that Proximus is right.
Why
about
would anyone
everything.
Hate this bad guy except that we were told we should? You know what I mean?
It's just
kind of like, I don't like get this. it's just like he is not Caesar, or like he's using Caesar's name, and it's like he's not like Caesar. It completely relies on your understanding of the original Caesar trilogy.
Right.
It's like, and that's also shaking.
They also refer to a time
like we described, man.
They also refer to a time when humans and apes lived together and stuff. And I'm pretty sure that never happened, right? Like we saw the whole Caesar trilogy and it ended with like the downfall of humanity. So like,
no, I don't think that was a literal thing. I think
that was another just misunderstanding of the life of Caesar or something that they're using.
That's Raka just misunderstanding the life of Caesar. Like humans and apes did live side by side, but with a catch.
They were warring forever.
They were second class citizens, third class citizens, whatever. Because they were in cages and they weren't intelligent, you know.
Well, here's my other thing about the ending thing is like, have you ever dug a hole at the beach?
Like a
deep hole. Do you know what happens in that hole?
Water will start to seep in.
Yeah. And like, what this whole thing is like, they've got, they got like one little like you know, 6 foot wide, like, sand castle that's blocking the water. But, like, the water is, like, 6 feet higher than all of the sand they're standing on. So, like, there's no way.
I mean, if you want to, if you want to get into all of, like, the plot holy things, I thought we would avoid that kind of
stuff.
No,
I understand. Like, it's just, this one pissed me off because it's so obvious. It's like, everybody's been to the beach, right? Like, who is this for?
Yeah, like this doesn't work. You can't fucking build something like this here.
You can't build a subterranean, like flat plane on a beach. That's not, that's what a beach is. It's, like, there's water under there.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I also like the other thing that bugged me was like May, like doesn't make any sense until she reveals like what she really is, you know?
Yeah.
They're just like doing that misleading the audience thing by like making the character act in a way that doesn't make sense, you know? She's like, why would she be acting like one of the retard humans? Like she's trying to blend in or something? Like,
yeah, well that's a Planet of the Apes thing though. That's been like it's from the book to the original movie and whatever. Like the idea of hiding that you can speak is like a big part of what this is, and hiding it for like, and I liked that actually, because when they introduced her character, I was kind of like, oh sick, we're gonna have like a nice retarded Nova again, just like a super hot retarded chick, and this is awesome. Like I love that they're doing this, and she's perfect because she looks like there's nothing behind her eyes. She looks like just like a dumb, way too hot to be in movies TV actress, like, you know what I mean? And then as soon as she starts talking, I was like, oh shit, she actually does have like something behind her eyes and personality. Like I thought that that shift actually like really worked for me, because I kind of was like, oh, I'm surprised. She was acting like a feral person, and now, I don't know. I liked that, because that is like a new take on the original twist and stuff from the other perspective and stuff.
Yeah, it also feels like a semi-political one, you know, where you're like, we are subverting Nova because Nova was a problematic character, and we're replacing it with
they're making Nova
this strong female character who's not an idiot, and actually she's a Machiavellian, in fact.
Yeah, but instead of Nova, she's Charlton Heston.
So she's not the bad guy. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
she sort of is Charlton Heston. Yeah, and they're looking for her.
Yeah, because that's the whole point. Is like Zaius is trying to stop Charlton Heston from going out there and like causing a problem for the, like, it's the same thing. Zaius is Proximus, exactly. And it's just we're seeing it from another side, and I thought that was cool. It's a cool, you know, just like I kind of thought parts of what Tim Burton did was cool. It's like, oh, that's an interesting idea of how to change this up and do the same thing from a new perspective. It's just like his was so boring. This one I didn't think was as boring. It was just such a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But here's like the best thing that the guy I saw it with was Josh. Josh has got to come on this podcast at some point. We'll find a good episode for him. But Josh gave me the best possible ending for this movie, dude. And like, when he said it, I was just kind of like, wait, actually, why didn't they do that? That like, it's so there, and they didn't. And he's like, well, it's because they got to do this franchise thing or whatever. But the ending of like, so she gets the key, she goes back to the people, you like see, oh shit, she's part of this thing, whatever. They like plug it in, and it's the communication thing. They call Cincinnati, and then Cincinnati answers, and they're just like, oh fuck yeah, all right, whatever. And then it cuts to Cincinnati, and it's all apes.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been apes. The perfect ending. Like that actually would have been amazing, because right, it's like, dude, it's the idea of them like, oh well, she's actually the bad one and she's gonna nuke them or whatever. Then it's like, no, let's twist that one step further in a way that like was very like that. It's just like, that was the perfect ending, dude. Why didn't they fucking do that? Like,
that was
that's like better than Burton's ending.
That would be totally,
that'd have been like, I would have been
really, really on brand.
The way that I would have talked about this movie would have been very different.
No, that would have been,
that ending would have changed everything.
That would have been mind blowing, dude.
It would have been so good.
It would have been mind blowing at that point to learn that there was an even more advanced clan of apes that have already taken control of satellite comms and shit like that.
Exactly.
That they already have tanks and stuff.
And it's also like they've already remade every single other Planet of the Apes thing, but to end it with a Burton ending would be the best. Like, you know what I mean? Where it's like, no, let's actually commit to like doing every Planet of the Apes, which includes Burton. So put in the Burton ending. Well,
maybe they're
calling DC.
Maybe they're still planning to do that.
Yeah, maybe they will.
They're just not doing it now at the end of this movie.
Yeah. But, well, we never cut to Cincinnati or whatever it is they're fucking calling. So who knows? Maybe they are apes.
Yeah, I also have a strong suspicion they might actually try to like remake the first one where they have like astronauts from the past show up and whatever. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's what do you think they're gonna call the next one? Empire of the Planet of the Apes?
Yep. Empire. Then
City State of the Planet of the Apes.
One world government of the Planet of the Apes.
Dominion of the Planet of the Apes.
Novus Ordum Seclorum.
How many more of these can you come up with?
Of the Planet of the Apes.
Like, one of them is bound to be the title.
Yeah. Now, that was another one that my buddy was saying. It was like, dude, I think they should call the next one Planet of the Planet of the Apes. And just see if anybody fucking notices.
Planet of the Planet of the
Planet
Apes.
Planet of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, dude.
It's great.
Land of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. I feel like all of the good shit that I've put into this podcast all came from Josh. The Planet of the Apes. Great
humbly
joke.
Humbly thank him then for all the great material.
I'll have to.
Yeah, man. And the director of this one is like Wes Ball.
Director of bullshit,
You know, all he's done before was the Maze Runner trilogy.
Right, which I haven't seen.
And he's apparently slated to do the Legend of Zelda movie, which is... I don't know. I guess
seems like that's kind of what this is a dry run of too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of Avatar, but yeah, kind of his Zelda too. That works. It's, you know, he just needs to do a basic, straightforward hero's journey in a world.
Yeah, and then being like the reborn form of an ancient kind of legend that like perpetuates itself or whatever.
Yep. Proximus is just Ganondorf. It's pretty similar. It's got, you know, his family's tied up in the castle. It's all.
But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of things I liked about this movie. There were also a lot of things about it that bored me, a lot of things that confused me. But yeah, like I think, like I said before, it's just not a movie that swept me up at all. And like, I don't know. It's a hard feeling to describe the kind of feeling I want from a movie. I mean, I understand, you know, using your head during a movie can be rewarding, but I prefer to do that later. I kind of like to be swept up by a movie's drama, you know?
Yeah.
And to be like just with it emotionally. And this just doesn't achieve that for me. I found myself just like very actively thinking about it the whole time because it's just kind of like, well, this is happening.
Yep.
And yeah. I definitely prefer the Caesar trilogy. And so, I don't know, I kind of think the Planet of the Apes franchise is just kind of, you know, continuing to devolve. But I guess with the exception of the Tim Burton one, because I think the Caesar trilogy was better than that, obviously. But
I don't know.
That's another thing, too. I think...
I feel like I maybe prefer this one to the Caesar trilogy. I feel like there's enough of these clever things and whatever that, like... It's hard because I feel like as a movie, it's so much worse. Like, it just like when you take into account like pacing and characters and things, whatever. But as an idea of the Planet of the Apes franchise thing, which is like weirdly, now that we've done all of these and like read the original and like done, like it's for some reason, weirdly, that is something I'm interested in. Like, even not as a movie, but as a franchise thing. And I feel like that's the way that it's like a really modern thing, right? Is like, that's how people feel about the fucking Marvel movies, where they're like not thinking of it as a movie, but they're thinking of it as like, oh, well, this is a really like good, you know, achievement of showing what would happen if Iron Man fought the Hulk or whatever. Like, I don't know. Each of these things is just kind of like a fun franchise connection.
As a film nerd who's nerdy about Planet of the Apes, it's like a satisfying thing. But as a movie,
that's what I'm saying.
Like,
I think
that's what I care about.
I think those meta connections and stuff like that people do care about in the Marvel movies that I think are stupid and bullshit. Like, now that I've done so many of these Planet of the Apes movies, I feel like I do care about that with the Planet of the Apes. And I do get those sort of like little payoff moments that people probably feel when they watch the Marvel movies. But I got it in this one.
Well, there you
go.
Then this is your MCU.
Yeah, exactly. And like that, I was kind of like, oh, okay, there's some of those things that I, you know, I enjoyed here a lot more than kind of the misery of,
remember the
of
doll?
The other trilogy.
Remember the doll that says mama?
Exactly. There's everything, dude. It's so stupid. But each of those moments I kind of enjoyed. It's not something I'm going to go back to. It's not something that's worth. I don't know. Maybe they're equal in my head. It's hard to say, but I feel like I enjoyed watching this one more than I enjoyed my revisits recently of that trilogy.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the Caesar trilogy a lot. That's most of the reason why we disagreed, is because there was like just a difference in being captivated by them, enjoying them. I really like. I like the cinema of those movies. I think they're really tasty cinematic pleasures. Yeah. Despite, like, we agreed that they're not as nuanced. They're not succeeding at really delivering the same intellectual pleasures as the original Planet of the Apes.
But they're cohesive and series. They're neat and they work.
Yeah, they're cohesive and neat and satisfying. I just like them.
Whereas this one is much more just like just vomit. Too,
this one, I just, like I said, I was just trying to distinguish the idea of something working on an emotional level or intellectual level. And sometimes one trumps the other, or you just like can't get into an emotional place because your mind is too busy, or vice versa. You can be too swept up in emotion and not realize how stupid something is.
Yeah. No, I was laughing at like how bad emotionally this movie was many times. Like every time something big and emotional happened, I was like, it's fucking stupid. But that was kind of fun for me to laugh at compared to watching a guy like kill himself in war.
No, for sure. I mean, I got that. Like, they are pretty, especially war is very miserableist. And honestly, like, even the Caesar trilogy, it gets like, for me, Dawn's my favorite, but we disagree on that. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But I really like Rise. And War is my least favorite.
Yeah.
It's just kind of too grim and not pleasant and whatever. Too self-serious and all that stuff. But I don't know. I just like a lot of those beats and things in the Caesar trilogy just work the way they should cinematically in a James Cameron way, even if they are stupid or maybe contradictory or something to like the point it was trying to make. You know, I just feel like with those movies more, with Caesar, just enjoying the sort of minutiae of it or whatever, and just being swept up in the storytelling of it, because it has these setups and these payoffs and these things that really work. And I don't know, there was something novel about how they succeeded having Caesar be a main character as a CGI figure and whatever, and how Andy Serkis actually did achieve that. And that is a special thing about those movies, making that character have gravitas and all this stuff, and making you care about wanting to see his journey play out.
And I will say
isn't here.
We shat on some of the effects in this movie, but I did think that the ape faces looked pretty incredible. That they probably were like using the same technology that they used in the last one. But I thought that the like emotions and like the ability to tell the apes apart and stuff, which they did really well in the previous trilogy, they were still doing really well in this one.
I just think the aesthetic was more cartoony overall.
Yeah.
It didn't feel
as
realism.
Totally.
But even the faces, I don't think the animations felt as realistic in this movie, personally.
Okay.
They were distracting to me a lot of the time. But also, this is another thing, man. Also, I just had a problem with like performances in this movie a lot more.
Well, you didn't like that they talked like people?
I didn't like that they did the caveman-y talk, which is basically what most of them were doing still, except Raka and maybe Proximus.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. I like that Raka was more intelligent, so he was speaking basically fluent English like a human would. That's also what made Raka fun. Is like, dude, I really wish all the apes in this movie were just talking fluently like humans the way they do in the original.
But they were way closer than the Caesar trilogy, though. Like, all of the side characters way closer.
Yeah,
I
still thought it was annoying.
As far as their vocabulary,
I thought it was more annoying in this one than it was in the Caesar trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for me, like, I see that they're trying to evolve that thing gradually and make that make sense. And the fact that these guys are more atavistic and non-intellectual and rejected the Caesar thing, that's why they still kind of use sign language sometimes.
Right.
Talking caveman voice.
Right. Yep.
And like that also made all the dialogue very basic and simple. And a lot of it was just like, you know, it didn't lend to like good writing or good character performances or anything. But with Raka, it really did.
Yeah.
Because he could like be totally dynamic use his language normally and whatever.
He just sounded like Orson Welles to me.
Basically, like Orson Welles, yeah, exactly.
but he's black. He's like a black Orson Welles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they didn't want to do guns in this movie, so they all have like shock sticks.
Yeah.
I wonder what that was all about.
Shock sticks are stupid because how the fuck are they recharging those? But okay. He's just got an unlimited charge. Like he could just find a discarded shock stick and just like, I mean.
Yeah, he had like a little battery pack. They all have like battery packs on their.
And where do they plug it in? They're
like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. They never explained the technology, obviously. Yeah.
Stupid.
It feels like that's what's weird about it. It feels like something that's like it's supposed to come off as like a crude technology, and I guess like, William H. Macy developed it, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it's like it requires like nuclear power cells that you know.
Yeah, it requires these like weird nuclear power fusion cells or something. Yeah, it's like, dude, why are you trying to break into this fucking vault? Then you have fusion cells.
It'd be pretty
cells.
Easy. All you'd have to do is go find some bullets, and like it'd be a lot easier. But okay. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
That's the thing. It's like they're breaking into like they're really obsessed about breaking into this vault, but it's like, dude, you couldn't find any guns anywhere. Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing too. And if you think about, you know, there were other like human factions who did like go around collecting guns and collecting all the as many resources as possible. There's no way that like they would have been able to collect all of it. So just like the idea that those apes would not find any human technologies or not find any weapons or anything, and that they're all like, this is it. There's like this one vault that the president went into. That's where everything is.
Right, just like, right.
And what, like Trevithan, like he can make these weird spark sticks, but he can't forge a basic gun or something?
And they like, couldn't find like, the fucking other entrance. What, they'd never, like, they've just been hanging out here. They never tried looking above it.
There is that, I mean? Too. Yeah.
Like, it's like there are basic solutions here.
Yeah, they didn't actually like scout the area. Yeah. Like, trying to figure, yeah, it's like.
I guess it's all like based on them being retarded apes, but it's. I don't know.
I guess so, but that kind of defeats the point, right? Yeah. Like, they're not supposed to be retarded apes. I don't know. It's a mess. We could probably keep going on and on, but I don't know. Are you feeling like passionate about saying anything else about this one?
No, I would just say, I would say that's that, Mattress Man.
That's that.
Thank you.